afternoon, good evening, good morning, everybody, wherever you are in the world. Your host again is Pierre Roussel. I'm with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, and of course with an association with Missionary Enterprise. And I'm really excited about today. Actually, I was very excited yesterday, guys. I wasn't even thinking about our interview, and it was just coming to me, I believe, supernaturally, that really God was in this.
Yeah.
And of course, the whole premise of doing these YouTube videos with the Full Gospel is to promote the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I don't just promote anything. I'm very picky.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be picky.
Amen.
And I know you're picky.
Yeah.
And I know you're picky. Because we talked here the other day. You're very picky.
Yes.
And you're very picky.
Yeah.
And we need, and the word picky means to discern, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're discerning, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you said even the other day on Saturday, there's a lot of tricksters in the pulpit.
Yeah.
I said, this guy speaks my language.
and
you didn't say it in a malicious way or anything like that. You just said the truth.
Yeah, that's it.
You know? So why don't you guys introduce yourselves? First of all, your name, and then we'll get into your specific ministries each, and we'll go from there.
Well, let's go by the special grace of God. My name is Emmanuel H.D.M. And I'm the resident pastor of New Life Global Church.
Amen.
Which is in Whitby.
Yeah. Whitby, Ontario, Canada.
Whitby, Ontario, Canada, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my name is Israel Ono Ryobe. I am the overseer of the World Vision Crusade Outreach Ministries that is based in Cape Town, South Africa.
Okay. So let's go back to you first. I want you to share a little bit, briefly, about 30 seconds. I want you to share a little bit what you shared with me the other day about from Nigeria to Malaysia to here. Okay? And talk loud.
Okay.
Preach. Preach.
Yeah. It is by the special grace of God that one can say you have done this or done that. Because I came to understand that there's nothing you can do by your own power and by your own strength. So by the special grace of God, while I was in Nigeria, the Lord ministered to me that it is time to leave Nigeria. But I have no idea where I'm going and why I am leaving Nigeria.
Wow, like Abraham.
Yes.
Didn't know where he was going.
I have no idea, but I know I had to go. Then when I got to Malaysia, my little time in Malaysia was a process of training. God took me to Malaysia to train me basically on what I call faith. Because, you know, sometimes we don't understand that word very well.
Mm-hmm.
So God took me to Malaysia and stripped me of everything that I had.
Wow.
So that I could trust on Him alone. And
He stripped you?
Stripped me.
Okay, stripped you of everything. Okay.
That I had. So I had no money. I had nothing. I could boast that this is who I am. Mm-hmm. So I become nothing but a servant in the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, God helped me to connect to a church called CGMI, Church of God Mission International, where I served under the man of God, Reverend Edike Joseph, as a personal assistant and a prayer director for about 3.5 years. There God moved in a special way. We started, I joined them when there were about 20 people, and within 3 years that we were there, we were about 150 people. And on the year 2009, the Lord spoke to me that it is time to take me to the next level of my assignment.
Mm.
And before then, in one of the evening section of prayer, the Lord said to me, I'm going to take you to 31 countries. And right there, after the meeting, when I spoke to people about it, but I wasn't sure how it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking God, I said, God, how is this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, I will change your identity.
Mm.
And that alone gave me confidence, because then I was with Nigerian passport, and I know that traveling countries with Nigerian passport is difficult.
Okay.
So when he said that, I understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2010, February 16, the Lord brought me into Canada.
Wow, super.
And when he brought me into Canada, I wanted to jump into the ministry right away.
Mm-hmm.
He said no. That's what I call a process of training that you have to go in order to be able to minister.
That's right.
Here in Canada, you have to understand their culture, how they behave, how they act. Yeah. This will also help you to be able to
the white people them. Over here, right?
Yes.
Little cold over here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it took me another 4 years to learn all these things.
Yeah.
Then in 2013, the Lord said,
"Yeah, we're pretty messed up over here, right?"
Oh well, I wouldn't say that, but I know that it was for one to be able to do something, you have to understand the culture
And where they're coming from.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is their problem? What is their need?
Yeah.
Because I believe that when you're able to minister to people according to their need, they will be drawn to you. So
good
that was what God did for the first of 4 years of me being in Canada.
Okay, and then the 4 years, and then the 2 years, you've been here 2 years,
yes,
right?
Here for two
Which
years.
The name of the church is?
The name of the church is a New Life Global Church.
Yeah, okay, super. Brother, you go ahead. You start from your Nigeria to Cape Town, South Africa, shortly.
Yeah,
because we're going to touch on your books and everything there, so.
Yeah, like, you know, I was born and raised up in Benin City in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And for the last 15 years, the Lord assigned me to South Africa.
Mm.
Initially, I went there to attend a conference, but I didn't know that God had a plan for me.
Amen.
And through my ministry down there, the Lord began to open the doors and the opportunity, and there I met my wife. My wife is a South African.
Okay.
And we got married, and presently we are based in Cape Town, South Africa. And from Cape Town, South Africa, the ministry reaches out into the nations of the world.
Yeah.
Our mandate is to declare the gospel of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
To unveil the purposes of God.
Amen.
And to impact the nations.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, the Lord has allowed us to reach into 45 nations.
So far.
Still counting.
Yeah, there's a few more nations.
Yes.
More nations.
Yeah, there's a few more. Yeah.
So that is the reason why I'm in Canada at this time.
At this time,
for this purpose.
Yeah, I just share a little bit that I was really by your books, so we'll get into your books right now, actually. Mm-hmm. You started at the age of 18, right?
Yes.
Basically, the ministry full-time at the age of 18?
Yep, I got born again at the age of 15.
15.
I was born into a Christian family,
okay.
But that didn't make me to
no,
be
that's
a
right.
believer.
That's right.
But at the age of 15,
God don't have grandsons.
At the age of 15, I gave my life to the Lord. And
okay.
By the age of 18,
right.
I was pastoring the first church.
Wow.
Actually, the church where I got
God.
Saved,
yeah.
I became the pastor of that church.
Yeah.
And towards the age of 19, going to 20, was when I started traveling to different nations. Of
yes. When did you find out you were called to be an apostle?
That is going to be, should be now going to about 10 years now.
Okay.
It was through an encounter with the apostle of the Lord who is based in Miami, Florida.
Right.
I'm actually submitting under his spiritual covering.
Yeah, you mentioned him in your books, right?
Yeah, in my books.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he came to South Africa to speak in my conference.
Right.
And I didn't really know him that much, but there was a tremendous grace of God upon his life.
Mm-hmm.
And as a minister, I just felt that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually brought a transition into my life and into my ministry.
Right.
And ever since, I began to step into the call by faith. And the grace of God has been mightily at work.
Amen. Amen. Going back to you for 30 seconds, you mentioned to me that you're pastoring right now, but really you're called to be an apostle also.
Yes.
About the traveling. So just touch on that, just maybe a couple, you know, just about half a minute or something.
I do tell people, while I was in Malaysia, I went to Malaysia as an evangelist. But through some encounter with God, I discovered that my call, I'm called into the ministry as an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm functioning as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But I do say it all the time, I am not a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an apostle by calling, because God have given me that revelation and an understanding of what apostle is and what is the responsibility. And I've, by the grace of God, seen it manifest in my life. And exactly that was the reason why when I met my brother, I saw the same spirit in him.
Well, that's it.
So that, as he said, nothing just clicked. I know that there's a lot I could get from him because he's already operating in that level which I know God is taking me. And that was the reason why we were able to connect.
Yeah, there's a like-mindedness there that builds a unity, right?
Yes.
And see, I'm not necessarily an apostle, but I'm extremely apostolic, and we're going to get into that because you mentioned that. Actually, the first time I talked to you, which was at the Full Gospel, our little meeting there, that's where we first met.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't speaking that day. Robert Cheatham was speaking.
Yes.
And but you got Doug, who's here with us today, the president.
Yeah.
He got you to share a little bit, and you mentioned the word kingdom, something we don't hear a whole lot in the church right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also you mentioned that the church is to be apostolic and not pastoral. Mm. And I said, whoa, this guy's reading my mind. Because I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the revelation that God gave me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole New Testament is apostolic.
Yeah.
About saving, sending, saving, training, and sending.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've totally missed it overall.
Yeah.
You know? So why don't you get into, this man's an author here. And why don't you just go over your books a little bit briefly?
Like what you were just saying just now, let me just come in a little bit for people to understand this. When you read the scripture, you understand that the church, the early church, was an apostolic church.
Amen.
Okay. Now, interestingly, when you read the New Testament from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation, mm-hmm. you will not find a singular word mm-hmm. called pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R.
Yeah.
It is not there.
No.
It is a plural word. You find pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And only once mm-hmm. you find that word in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11.
Yeah.
But you understand the whole church was an apostolic church.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean that everybody was an apostle.
No.
But being apostolic,
yeah.
the Greek word apostello,
yeah.
means we've been commissioned by God or sent
right.
with a mandate of declaring the gospel of the kingdom of God.
And the word, I don't want to cut you off, but the word apostle is actually a military term.
Yeah.
It's militaristic.
Yes. Yes.
It was used actually for Navy, the Navy back then. Now, back then they didn't have the Air Force, obviously, but they had the Navy. And I just want to touch on, even the word pastor, it's not a good translation. It should be shepherd.
Yes.
But the Greek word is poimen.
Mm.
And we're going to get into that because you love the Greek too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of like-mindedness going on.
Yes.
I knew this
was
going to be a good interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the word poimen, the Lord showed me this years ago. Because I'm into the Greek, the word poimen comes from the root word to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So the true sense of the church and its leaders, whether it's your apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, is to protect the church.
Yes. Yeah.
Protect the church from what? Well, wolves, sheep's clothing, false doctrine. But the problem is today, we got the false doctrine coming from the pulpit.
From the pulpit.
And that's a serious issue with God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So anyhow, keep going with your books, brother.
Okay, well, I've written 6 books at the moment.
So far.
As a matter of fact, as we're speaking, I've just finished writing one now called On the Wonders of Grace.
Amen.
But let me speak about this one that are available. There are 6 books I've written.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3 is in series. It is called Apostolic Strategies for Kingdom Reformation.
Yeah.
So series 1 of the book deals on the message of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people there is only one gospel
that
Jesus preached. It is called the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And that is what he commissioned his disciples to preach. Unfortunately, there are many other gospels
mm-hmm.
that are being preached today,
mm-hmm.
which is not the gospel of the kingdom
of
God.
Right,
I believe it is time for us as the body of Christ to return back to the original gospel
of
the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel of the kingdom.
And Paul mentioned about preaching another Jesus,
another
Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is why I believe there is only one gospel that can bring transformation
mm-hmm.
to the life of men and even to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What we find is that religion has produced another gospel.
Oh, it's a counterfeit.
Has prepared a people to... You know, rather than a people to bring the kingdom of God and to establish God's purpose.
And I love that you got the word reformation in there, because that's something we don't hear a whole lot about.
Yes.
I know the church needs a final reformation, you know.
I think the mindset of the people is that when we talk about the reformation, people keep looking back into the past move.
That's right.
Martin Luther.
Yeah, Luther, John Knox.
And the other kind of reformation, but don't understand what... When we talk about the apostolic reformation, we're not just talking about restoring the past move of God, but we're talking about restoring the original pattern of God for the church.
Amen.
Even the Bible says in the book of Hebrews.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, chapter number 9.
The King James uses the word reformation.
And
we don't have time to get into that, but that's a huge word in the Greek.
I'm telling you. It's huge. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Series 2 of the book, these are what I call the apostolic ministry.
Yeah.
And this is where it deals with a fivefold ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God has given the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the church,
Amen.
The maturing of the church, to come into the fullness of the stature of Christ.
That's right.
Ephesians chapter number 4 says,
yeah,
God has given this fight until we come into perfection of maturity.
And we're nowhere near there yet.
If we are not yet perfect and come into maturity, it means that this fight will continue to operate.
That's right.
But the problem we have is that dispensational theology have taught us that there is no more apostle and there is no more prophet. But when you understand the scripture, these two ministry gifts are foundational ministry for the church.
Absolutely.
Now, when the foundation is gone, what can the righteous
That's
do?
That's right. And Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 3, talks about building upon the right foundation.
The right foundation.
Yeah. And to be careful.
How we do.
How we do that.
Yes.
You know, it goes into the gold, the silver, the stubble, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then right after that, he talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, right, 13 to 15 talks about our works being burned up, losing rewards, or your works passing the test and receiving rewards for your works.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But it goes back to building upon the right foundation,
the right foundation,
which is Christ.
Which is Christ.
That's which is Christ.
That's what I wanted to do. The apostle and the prophet is not the foundation. Christ is the foundation.
That's right, because he's all the gifts.
Oh, yeah. But they have the grace
to
impact the foundation.
That's right.
And others build upon that foundation.
That's right.
Which has been laid.
That's right.
So this helps us to understand
yes.
the fivefold ministry that is being restored back to the church.
That's right.
So that we can begin to build upon the foundation.
Yes.
This one I call transitioning churches into kingdom apostolic move in order to bring a transformation in our community.
Amen.
For example, I said the name Christian was not given to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
It was not given to us by the apostle.
No, it wasn't.
It was the Gentile that
That's
gave
right.
us that name.
That's right.
We are called the sons of God.
That's right.
But why were they called Christian?
Mm-hmm.
If you understand why they were called Christian, we begin to understand that we, the church, need to begin to follow the pattern.
Mm.
The Bible said they saw them, that they were behaving and doing exactly the same thing Jesus was doing.
Yeah.
And said, these are Christians. In other words, they are followers of the Lord Jesus who are doing exactly the same thing he was doing.
Right.
So in other words, it is not just following.
No.
But it is doing what he is doing.
Mm.
Okay. This one will help us.
Good
and
stuff.
Also, another thing that is very important here, it helps us to understand the marketplace ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
Where we must take the church beyond the four walls into the marketplace.
Yeah.
And if you understand, that is one of the principles of the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship.
Mm-hmm, it was,
the fact where they have taken the church beyond the four walls.
That's right.
Right there into the marketplace and making tremendous impact in the business world, in terms of education, in terms of politics.
That's right.
In all this field.
Yeah, because we're the church, right?
Yeah, we're
this isn't the church.
Yeah.
We're the church.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah,
so wherever I go, the church goes, right?
Yeah. So
wherever the church goes, God goes, right? Because God's inside of us, right?
We have to be relevant in our community.
Relevant. There's a good word. Right there.
This one, I just finished wrote this one recently. It's called Building According to the Divine Pattern.
Yeah.
God said to Moses, take an offering from the people and make me a tabernacle. He said, for I desire to dwell among the people. But he said, see to it that all things are built according to my pattern.
Yeah.
One of the problems with church today is that we have lost the vision of the pattern of God for his church.
Yeah.
We have built according to our pattern and not his pattern.
Yes.
And if there's anything that God wants today, his church must be restored back to his original pattern, because God will not inhabit any house that is not built according to his pattern.
That's right. He can.
What we have today, we have what we call the visitations of God.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the ultimate goal of God.
No.
The goal of God is to inhabit.
Inhabit, yeah.
Is to abide with his people, not to visit his people.
No.
So, as long as the house is still in the building process, God will visit.
Mm-hmm.
But he will not abide.
He wants to dwell.
He wants to dwell. When you check the principle of the scripture, with Solomon, with others, God, the glory of God came and abide when the house was finished and everything was in divine order.
In order,
according to the pattern of God. So this one will help people really understand this. I think a lot of leaders need to get this as well and see that. This one deals with what the aspect we're talking about, spiritual sons.
Yeah, sons and daughters and spiritual fathers.
Yeah.
And,
Because the scripture says in Romans chapter number 8, the whole goal of God is that God is waiting to release, or the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that word son there, I looked it up just the other day.
Yeah.
It's actually the maturity, the mature sons.
The sons, not children.
Yeah, not children. That's
sons.
Right. It's sons,
okay.
Yeah.
We are all children of God.
Yes.
Okay. But in the original purpose of God, we are sons of God. But it is a spiritual maturity and development to come into the fullness of that sonship.
Yes.
Where we begin to take responsibility of the business of the Father.
That's right.
And begin to administer God's purpose.
And that word sonship is only, that word son there is only used, I think, another time besides for Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's right a couple of verses before where it says, all those who are led by the Spirit of God,
they are
sons
of God. Sons of God.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, as long as you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're walking in your divine sonship. But if you're not led by the Spirit, you're not walking in your sonship.
You see, that is where people need to begin to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Because you cannot be a son if you're not led by the Spirit.
It's impossible.
So I wonder why a lot of churches begin to operate today without the Spirit of God.
Mm. Not good.
It's not possible. Okay, this is some of the principles in Scripture we need to. This one also helps us to understand the aspect. Let me quickly say this, because a lot of people have issues with spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spiritual fathering is not about control.
No.
It's not about manipulation.
No.
It's not about domination. These are spiritual witchcraft.
Mm.
Okay. Spiritual fathering is about reproducing Christ in the people. Not ourselves, but Christ in the people.
And that's what Paul said in Colossians, but also in Galatians 4:19. I labor that Christ be formed in you. That's the verse that God gave me in 2007. I never saw that verse before. I said, oh my goodness. I thought I'm already in Christ. Well, you are in Christ, but Christ has to be formed inside of you.
Amen. Yes. Because I tell people, if the principle of spiritual fathering is to bring the people to be like us, we have failed.
We have failed.
The whole purpose is to point them to Christ.
That's right.
So that they become like Him.
Good stuff.
Like Paul would say, imitate me
as
I imitate Christ. It's not say become like me.
No.
But it's say become like Christ.
Yeah.
So follow this pattern to become like Christ.
And you know that verse in Corinthians there? Actually, if you break it down in the Greek, Paul is really saying, when you get into the grammar and all that, he says, follow me as I, or imitate me as I follow Christ. And really he's saying, if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me.
Exactly.
That's what it's saying in the Greek.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Wow.
Okay, keep going, brother.
Amen. So this one will help us to understand some of that. Then this last one I've written is called The Way of the Wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to hear about the wilderness.
No.
It's not a good place to
be. No.
Place of isolation, place of dryness, place of death,
and
so forth. But we must understand that God has a purpose for our journey through the wilderness.
Amen.
Because if you follow the pattern with the children of Israel, it was not the decision of Moses. It was not the decision of the people to go through the wilderness.
No.
But God said, I will not take them through the way of the Philistine.
Yeah.
But I will take them through the way of the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
My question, for what purpose?
Mm.
It was simply because of their prophetic destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are going is important.
Yes.
But the most important things are the things we learn on our journey to our destination.
It's our preparation,
because
right?
Those are the things that prepare you for our destiny.
Yeah.
So, in this book, I'm not talking much about your experience in the wilderness, but more on the benefit
of
your wilderness experience, so that we can understand the whole purpose of God and how to be able to seek God to receive everything that God has for us.
And you know, Kenneth Hagin, I'm sure you're very familiar with. I love the guy.
Yeah.
And he said, preparation time is never wasted time.
Mm.
But he says many waste their preparation time.
Yes.
They don't see the point of, why do I need to do this? Why do I got to fast? Why do I got to pray so much a day?
Yeah.
Why do I got to meditate the Word? Why do I got to get to know the Father? It's part of your preparation time. It's part of you walking, preparing you to walk in your sonship and your calling, right?
Yeah.
In the kingdom, right?
If we are going to be victorious, we must prepare.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, a boxer does not win the fight on the ring.
No.
He wins the fight
yeah.
before the fight.
That's right. It's like the Olympics, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the training. The training.
So what we have today, we have a lot of premature leaders
yes.
who have stepped into ministry mm. before their time,
yeah.
and they have missed their season of preparation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Jesus, being the Son of God, mm. at the age of 12,
mm-hmm.
stood up in the temple and was teaching.
Mm.
But his father came and disapproved of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says he was subject
mm-hmm.
to his earthly father. And for the next 18 years, you didn't hear anything about mm-hmm. Jesus. But when he showed up at the age of 30, God spoke, says, this mm-hmm. is my beloved son,
yeah,
in whom
yeah.
I'm well. He yeah. has not done one miracle
yeah,
or anything, but yet the father said, I'm pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Excellent.
Okay. So let's move on here. We got a few minutes left here. I just want to touch a little bit on also the Kingdom Ministers United. And that's where we really kind of connected a little bit.
Yep.
I had heard you shared at the Full Gospel.
Mm.
And then that Saturday, I was sitting downstairs, I was typing some of my notes out. And I had a supernatural, I told you, I shared this with
yes.
the brother.
Yes.
I had a supernatural desire to come here
mm.
on the Sunday. And so I did come. And then that's the first time I really heard you teaching.
Yeah,
it was a
yeah,
good teaching.
Yeah,
you covered
yeah,
a lot of ground.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that's where Gabriel, Pastor Gabriel, told me about the conference,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And that's where I went that night,
mm-hmm.
and which was a great conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I've heard there's a few good preachers out there. There's not enough right now. But all I know is on my way home, I said, Lord, I said, that was one of the best messages I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But not only that, I said, the delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
I say the delivery was almost impeccable.
Mm.
It was such a powerful delivery. I said, this guy's got a cannon on the inside of him. And you need that cannon to project truth
yes.
so that people will get the truth. You can have the truth.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a good delivery,
yeah.
you'll miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got an excellent delivery. And yeah. I want to share that to encourage you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I really do that.
Okay.
And that's where the whole thing with the Kingdom Ministers United, and of course now I'm on their Facebook and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking into it.
Yes.
See what God has in mind for missionary and probably
yeah.
stuff like that.
Good, good.
So what we're going to do here is we covered your books, the vision of your ministry.
Yeah.
Very shortly, touch about the training center that you guys are putting together in Cape Town.
Presently, one of the mandate God has given to us is to establish what we call the International Training
mm-hmm.
and Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to operate as a local church,
mm-hmm.
but it is more of an apostolic training center where we intend to bring leaders
mm-hmm.
and ministries from different parts of the world
yeah.
to come spend time with us for
mm-hmm.
practical training
mm-hmm.
or intensive training and impartation on the principles of the kingdom
mm-hmm.
to understand the apostolic ministry or the fivefold ministry, to know their assignment so that we can raise and imagine leaders
mm-hmm.
and be able to help others to make the transition from the mindset of the church
That's
into
right.
the kingdom of God. And so that we can release them into the nation
yeah.
or they can go back into their ministry, and we can now begin to establish relationship
mm.
with these people and begin to work with them in all over the nations
Amen.
Of the world. Presently, what we're doing, we've been doing it more like a mobile train,
mm-hmm.
okay? Taking it from where we are to the people and to different countries. That is my heart desire,
mm-hmm.
to spend time with leaders for them to really understand the whole mindset,
mm-hmm.
the whole purpose of God,
yeah.
so that they can make the transition. But we believe in God that,
absolutely.
That the whole resource center
will absolutely. When I read that, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I'm joining my faith with this,
yeah.
and somehow, you know, that I can be, we can be part of that.
Yes, excellent.
The Lord gave me a word a few years ago that God wanted to merge visions.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that you lose your personal vision, but there's a merging of vision where the visions, the callings can become one.
Yes.
Because it's under the headship, it should be under the headship of Christ
yes.
anyhow,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So.
Very important, because one thing we must understand is that every one of us seated here,
mm-hmm.
we are all unique in
mm-hmm.
God's purpose
mm-hmm.
and God's assignment.
Mm-hmm.
You have a unique call of
mm-hmm.
God upon your life. You have a unique call of God upon
Amen.
I have a unique call of God upon us.
Yeah.
Our coming to relate into relationship is not for you to relinquish your call and your assignment to not carry my assignment.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my assignment is to help you fulfill your
Thank
assignment.
You. And, okay. like,
when we as leader begin to understand this principle,
yeah.
that is when we network, so-called network
right.
alliance of religion, will begin to function according to the will of God.
Yeah. Yes.
But what we have today, we have men who just come and with great anointing and great grace, but what they're trying to do is to reproduce people to take their vision rather than helping them to fulfill their fulfill the vision of, of the ministry of God upon them. So the International Training and Resource Center, that is our goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to become us.
No.
It's for you to be what God wants you to be.
That's right.
So our assignment is to help shift you to be what God wants
that's
you to
so
be.
That's so encouraging.
Looking at it this way, you know, I believe that one of the things I've learned from him is that we as church leaders should start to break down the denominational barriers that is boxing of people of God. Because when I come to you and you come to me and two of us, we begin to take out that denominational boundary, we begin to function as a body. Because when we go to heaven, we're not going to heaven with the New Life Global Church or First Baptist Church. We're going to heaven as sons and daughters of God.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think that it is time we begin to move and begin to function in that level of understanding of maturity that church had to be united for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because your hand, your body, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12,
yes.
especially the whole body. Yes. My goodness, when you look at your body, the way your body functions, even, I mean, if you're going to get a glass of water, it's for your mouth, but your hand's involved, your feet's involved to get to the tap. The whole thing, your eyes are involved. Yeah.
Even your mind, everything's
involved.
And
to get one glass of water.
Yeah.
So imagine the body of Christ, we're crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating at times when I think about it.
I wonder why we call it the body of Christ, but yet don't function as the body.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if we are the body of Christ, I think it's time for us to function as a body.
To line up.
That is exactly what I wrote on the building according to divine power.
Yeah, exactly.
The body church.
Yeah.
We need to begin to function as a body.
Amen. Amen. So really, in closing, and then I'll have you share something in your native tongue. Okay, brother? You're okay with that, right?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, that's good. Listen, when you preached the other day at the Kingdom Ministers, you asked for my, you know, because I know you like the Amplified. You're into the Greek, and you asked to use my Bible, and I was touched by that and all that, you know. And then, of course, on the way home, you know, I was me and the Lord are talking, you know. And then for the within a couple days, you know, I was, I just knew I was supposed to do this. So, brother, this is, you know, this is from the Lord. This is not from me. And because you had your old King James and stuff like that. So I went out and I ordered you a new Bible here.
Wow.
It's this is the new King James with the Amplified.
Wow.
With your name on there.
Wow.
And with the abbreviation of your ministry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just wanted to, this is not from me. I mean, God uses me, but I mean, you know, I've done it before a couple other guys, but I prayed about it a lot. And I just know we're supposed to do that. So the covering's not the best, but anyhow, the Bible, it's a very good Bible.
Yes.
And I just want to present to you for your brother.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, brother. It's a real pleasure to do that for you.
I appreciate that. You know, I said the other day, I think right in that meeting, one of the problems to even the progressive revelation of God is even our old Bibles.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
you did.
And the old notes we have.
Yeah, with our old notes.
Yeah.
Every time we read, it's like we see the old notes and we don't see the new truth.
That's right.
And I've been actually thinking of changing my Bible.
Well, there you go. You got it right
and
there.
And here it is. Yes.
New King James and the Amplified.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
I truly appreciate it.
I know you do.
May the Lord bless you and the missionary enterprise.
Absolutely.
And the great work you're doing.
Amen.
I truly appreciate it from the depth of my heart.
Sure.
And I pray that the Lord will begin to take you from one level to the other.
Oh, yeah, we are. He's promised.
Such a nation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, brother, you share something in your native tongue. Okay? You just go for it.
And make sure you let us know the tribe
and
what it is and what you say.
Okay.
Yeah. Amen.
By the special grace of God, I came from the tribe of Igbo.
Okay.
In Nigeria, we have so many tribes, but I came from Igbo tribe.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say in Igbo, first of all, I'm going to say it in English, and I'm going to translate it in
Igbo. Sure, go for it,
In English, we say, may the Lord be with you, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord sustain you in all that you do. So, in Igbo language, we say, Chineke dobegi, Chineke uchitegi, Chineke zọba gị n'ihe ọbụla nke ọbụla na ị na-eme ka Jehova aka Jehova jisie gị ike.
You got Jehovah in there?
Yes.
Yeah. I hear Jehovah?
Jehovah,
it's the same thing, eh?
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. Same thing.
Okay, super.
Yeah. When it comes to the names,
okay.
You don't change
them. They don't change them, okay.
Yeah. So when you're saying,
okay.
Amen. So, Kachineke Zoo, Kachineke Chebeonu, Kachineke Manyalonu, I'm not thinking that I'm going to go to the house. I will talk to the house. I'm going to go 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 to the
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Super.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
It was excellent.
Bless you.
I loved it.
May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Amen.
And
thank you,
so
my
much.
Brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
May the Lord bless you.
We'll see each other again. We'll see each other
Definitely.
Again. Guaranteed.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
God bless you.
God bless.
Amen. I appreciate you.